I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. And I think we've got an interesting show for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual. And before we get started tonight, I'd just like to take a moment to thank everybody that has emailed me this week and given input into things I'd like to hear on ET Yoga, and also making some positive comments about the show, and also my most favorite subject is hearing about your successes utilizing techniques you've heard on ET Yoga. So for all those people that have emailed in, much appreciated. And I didn't advertise this at the on the website prior to the start of the show, but Egyptian healing rods have reared its head again, and this time coming from Valerie Uvarov, who is the head of the Department of UFO Research, Paleosciences, and Paleotechnology of the National Security Academy of Russia. And his research there has it's in a lot of areas, but in particular, he has recommended the Egyptian healing rods as one of the best ways that the public at large can protect themselves from cancer. And part of his research is around the magnetic poles and how the one at the southern tip of the globe apparently is expanding. And if you think of the magnetic poles as sort of an hourglass shape, the one at the bottom apparently will actually be expanding all the way up to the top around 2013, which also, I guess, coincides with New Age thinking around ascension. However, he's also stating that increased sun activity will also be a factor at that time, but that the Egyptian healing rods help to balance the yin-yang energies and to kind of reset our internal clocks and in the best possible way to enhance the immune system. And it is essentially pyramid power. In fact, he's coming out with a book called The Pyramids quite soon in English. And just to give you a little bit of a background on Egyptian healing rods, you can access information there at www.egyptianhealingrods.com. And I first became acquainted with them through Sri Ramkan's Sri Kira Ra. Apparently she had a large tumor that she totally eliminated using the Quartz Rods 3. And I think that, you know, definitely a really good source of information there. It's Sri Ramka and Kurara. And at that time, I ordered a set of Egyptian healing rods, and I'm thoroughly impressed with them. If you check out the research, absolutely phenomenal. About 15 minutes a day of utilizing Egyptian healing rods is like an hour of acupuncture. Opens up the chakras, stimulates the immune system, and certainly on my list of recommendations, and I do mention them repeatedly on ET Yoga, but I also would like to refer the listeners to Project Camelot, where actually a two-hour interview of Uvarov is currently on their site. And I think it's well worth a look. And now to the agenda for this evening. We're going to be talking about mastering personal power and how that relates to maximizing your health as well. And much of the information this evening comes from Germaine. And we're going to begin with a very essential idea to understanding this whole concept, and that is that personal power is not anything you need master, as if it is something you do not now have. Rather, it is something you already possess. In that case, then, instead of looking at it as mastering something you do not have, look at it like remembering how to use something which you already have. Each and every one of you, being sparks of creation, are 100% masters. You all know what it is like to exist. You all know how to manipulate energy. You all know how to live to the fullest extent of what you are capable of. This is something you needn't learn. However, here comes the challenge. Those of you who chose to incarnate in physical reality, especially on a planet such as your Earth, have a bit of a challenge. Part of the reason this Earth plane was set up was for a learning school. Because it is a learning school, obviously there must be challenges. Recognize these challenges are put in place for all of you to exercise your spiritual muscles, shall we say, for all of you to be all that you can be, and for each and every one of you to learn what there is to learn, and to progress yourself, and to grow, and to be of service to others. When you incarnate into this plane, there are a set of rules that you, by your agreement to incarnate, must follow. Now, some of those rules are quite obvious. One is that you will adhere to the laws of time and space. That is a fairly simple one. You all have that one down quite well. Another is that thought will take time to manifest reality. And another is that you have a challenge of illusion that will be the greatest challenge that exists for you. As you recognize illusion for what it is, illusion and not reality, you then begin to remember the mastery that you have from the other realms. You cannot master personal power in physical reality while maintaining the idea of illusion. That is the challenge. For many of you do not know really what illusion is and why it is there and how you can see beyond it. Assuming then that you are already masters, how do you reawaken that mastery into your physical lives here on Earth? How do you see beyond the illusion? The easiest place to start is with whatever obstacles you see in your life. If you look at the idea of your spiritual mastery, your personal power, as being channeled through to you from a funnel, the obstacles are those things that clog the funnel. Once that funnel is clogged for any period of time, you forget that the funnel is there. You forget that the personal power energy is always channeling through. Therefore, those obstacles take on the form of illusion. They are confusing for you. They are like mirrors placed askew in many different directions, confusing you and directing you and using reflections rather than reality until you are looking in any direction except the direction of the funnel, the direction of your personal power. Recognize that when you come into physical reality, there is a structure, a portion of your consciousness which is a facilitator for your lives here in physical reality. You call that portion of you ego. Now, the ego is a neutral thing. It doesn't have to be a positive or a negative thing. It is a neutral idea. It is a regulator. It is a facilitator. However, when too much power is given to that ego, that is when the ego becomes imbalanced. That's when illusion begins to form. That's when many of you have called the negative ego comes into play. Somewhere in the development of the ego, for many of you, not for all of you, when you've been faced with challenges which were meant to strengthen you, they were misconstrued into being fears that threaten you. And the first time that happened in your life is when the obstacles begin and this illusion begins being formed. Prior to that time, you as souls incarnate on Earth are in your mastery. Now, one may say, well, how can a little child be in their mastery? Recognize that if we are talking about infants, they do not have the motor skills to move their body in order to manipulate reality. This does not mean they are not masters. It simply means they are not yet developed in their motor skills. But the soul energy at that time that is being expressed onto the physical plane is entirely connected with that personal power. It is only when the ego is allowed to begin protecting you from your fear rather than guiding you to confront your fear, it is only until that point that mastery ends, so to speak, and illusion begins. Now, we are talking about a period of time very, very early in your development as a human. It can happen literally from the first few months of life, or the ego creation of illusion to protect you from your fears may not happen until after several years of life. It is really different for each person. However, that is the point that you can trace back where the ego has begun building illusion and facade to protect you from perceived threats. It is at that point where the mastery of the personal power begins to take a back seat and survival begins to take a front seat. This does not have to occur this way. It has simply been a good way of coping for thousands of years. You then taught your children, and your children taught their children, etc., until you've forgotten that each soul comes in as masters. If you could remember that, if you could begin teaching your children that and truly believing it, not pretending to believe it, you will find that your attainment of personal power would be more rapid, more complete, more easy, and with a lot less struggle. We're going to give you an analogy here, given us by a good friend, that could demonstrate how the ego works. But the key here is to really remember that mastering personal power, first and foremost, is recognizing what it is in you that caused you to give it away in the first place. Is it fear? Is it self-hatred? What is it? And when you can begin to understand that, the answer will come as to who has your power. For instance, let us say that once you discover why you've given it away, then you look at who has it, you may find many different answers. Your government may have it, your religion may have it, your husband or wife may have it, your society may have it, your teachers may have it. In fact, anyone and everyone may have it other than you. When you begin to see to whom you've given your power and why, you will learn a tremendous amount about yourself. And we would suggest before you ever seek to gain personal power, first discover where you've put it. Because otherwise you will not know how to recognize it. Therefore, if you can't recognize it, you can't claim it. Once you then have identified where you've put it, you can then seek the means to claim it back. Each of you will do this differently. We can give you certain techniques, etc., but recognize that each person will go along the path differently. However, we absolutely guarantee you that when you discover who you've given the power to and why, you will be over the hill. You will be at the top of the hill. The rest will be downhill. The analogy we would give about a funnel is that it is connected to you through which your personal power filters, and the obstacles or illusions that get stuck there, which cause you to forget that you have it, is very similar to this idea. Meaning that another way of looking at it is to look at the funnel and see what form those obstacles take. For instance, if those obstacles take the shape of constant problems with the government, then that is going to tell you that you've given your power in that direction to the government. If those obstacles take the form of continued abusive relationships, for instance, then that will point you in the direction that you have given your power to another person in your relationships. Therefore, you are powerless in relationships, hence abuse. So in order to find out what it is, how you create those obstacles, look at first what they are. What form do they take in your life? Examine your life with a fine-tooth comb. What is the common theme? Those are going to represent the obstacles or the illusions that are distracting the flow of your own personal power, which is always there, distracting you from knowing you have it and keeping other people as the holders of your power. Understand that. Know that. And when you can identify that, you can very actively and fully begin taking your power back. Before we go further, other questions or clarifications on what we've said. And here's an interesting question that was asked of Jermaine. Yes, I got the impression that giving up this power or giving it away or hiding it was a prerequisite for third density physical earth experience. Is that a correct interpretation of what you are saying? And the answer was, this game that you play of hide and seek with your personal power is part and parcel of the game of third dimensional reality. Yes. Another question. This reclaiming of personal power is obviously one essential step in the transformation from third density to fourth. For comparative purposes, so that we can perhaps view this from a little different perspective, could you briefly describe the condition of personal power as it exists in fourth density? Let us explain or rephrase this question, and you tell us if this is what you mean. As opposed to what we've just discussed about what is occurring on your planet now and with giving away the power, you want to know where you are moving toward as personal power begins to be claimed. What is it going to look like? That is a good start. In some ways, it is going to be very, very alien to you now because most of you are used to giving away the power. However, we will do our best to describe for you, at least generally, what it will be like. First of all, essential to claiming personal power is 100% ownership of everything that happens in your reality. So if you are in a car accident, if someone has embezzled from you, whatever, any situation that has come into your reality must be 100% owned. In the transition that you are moving toward now, the transition that we call the transition from third to fourth density, you're going to find that in that fourth density framework, everyone will be totally self-responsible for their lives. We are talking literally about an entire shift. It means you will no longer blame anyone. If you ever have to blame someone, you're not in your personal power. As an example, look at what this is going to do for the judicial system and lawyers. If there is a change and individuals are owning their realities, there will be no need for lawsuits. That is one very, very simple example. Imagine what it would be like for everyone in your world to 100% own and claim their lives and what happens to them. When that happens, you will also find that everyone in your world has 100% mastered their personal power. Do you follow so far? Another question is, yes, I'll let you keep going. One of the things that occurred to me is that when you learn to ride a bicycle, there is a point where you no longer have to even think about your balance. Right now, we are experiencing individual issues about personal power. In fourth density, those issues, I assume, are handled. There are no longer challenges to that personal power concept, just like there are no longer challenges to balancing on a bicycle. And Jermaine says, exactly. Another question. So this is an issue that we go through, we get, and fourth density provides us with a whole different range of issues that then will not include this question of personal power. Is it something we will have done? And Jermaine says, yes. Right now, what you are all doing on your world is that you are learning to ride without training wheels. For now, at least, you are still reminding yourself to keep in balance on that bicycle. However, very shortly in many of your lifetimes, you are going to see a tremendous shift where you are no longer going to have to think about balancing yourself on that bicycle. It is going to be a natural expression of who you are. And so as the reality is claimed 100% as total self-responsibility for the reality is taken by each person, they are going to learn to live that way rather than live through blame. And when they learn to live that way, they are truly, truly on the path of total mastery of their personal power. Very good analogy. And another question. And it would seem obvious then that for many of us, this personal power that we need to reclaim may actually be back in the roots of our family, our mother and father. Oh, yes. Recognize that each and every one of you as children have role models in your mother and father or your primary caregivers, and those role models are the first people that you ever encounter. And when you have a little child who is so hungry to learn, they pattern themselves after the first role model that they are presented. This is not a conscious thing, but this is what happens. And so if your parents have been patterned to give away personal power, perhaps your mother has been patterned that she should give up her personal power to the man. And the man has been patterned that he is the only one who can safely handle the power. This is going to be passed on to the children. And it is then going to be passed on to their children and so on down the line. Until conscious intervention happens, it can unconsciously be carried. So more than anything else, what we're talking about is a form of conscious intervention. It is a point of saying, aha, this is why I have not felt empowered. I will own this. I will thus, in the owning, change it. That commitment right there, that recognition, that ownership, that is the true point of power. Another question. So the more that your primary caregiver tended to live in fear, therefore giving up their power in any area they are afraid, they give up their power to the person or thing whom they are afraid of. And Germaine says, exactly. Then the more you will be patterned to give up your personal power because you are following the dictates or models of your primary caregiver. Exactly. Now, we recognize that there is really so much to share with you on this idea of claiming personal power. And given time allotted, will not allow us to do so. However, we would like to give you some techniques to get the ball rolling so that those of you who are feeling disempowered are really looking for that mastery of your personal power. This will give you a place to start. And the number one place to start in achieving personal power or reclaiming personal power is to begin with fear. We were just talking a few moments ago about the analogy regarding the funnel. And if you're given this analogy and taking it to heart, then you start to analyze the areas that you're having problems. And the one single idea that can keep you immobile is fear, and that one single idea must be confronted and addressed. So we're going to give you some exercises to help you work with your fear so that it will not seem so overwhelming to you, so that little by little as you begin working with this fear, you will then little by little feel more and more self-empowered. And the four-step fear process goes like this. Number one, what do I fear? We would suggest that the person list as many things as possible. This is including physical fears, such as snakes or riding in a car. It is also encompassing fears of success, fears of not being loved, fear of being abandoned. It is the tangible fears and the intangible fears. Write down as much as you possibly can. Take as long as you possibly can to do it. It's going to be very illuminating for you. Second, how does this fear manifest in my life? For instance, an answer to that question might be, when I am in fear, I lash out at those I love. It is very important for you to identify the behavior that you engage in when you are in fear. Often you do not know when you are in fear because it is a behavior or an energy that you are used to. But if you can't learn to identify your behavior patterns, if you can learn to identify your behavior patterns, you can then examine your patterns and know when you are in fear. That way, every time you lash out at someone you love, you're going to know, aha, I must be in fear. And a question, and Jermaine, chances are those patterns will be the same for all the fears, right? And he says, yes, thank you very much. If you have 25 fears that you've just listed, the behavior that you engage in when you are in fear will be identical for all those 25 things you've listed. Fear is fear. Once you've done this second question, started to identify your behavior, that is when you're going to start feeling a little twinge of personal power, because you're going to start to realize that you have the tool to recognize it, and so you have the tool to confront it, and you have the tool to heal it. The third question is, what possible value can I find for the expression of my fear? Let us reword this. What value can you ascribe to the expression of your fear? For example, your fear is extremely valuable because it points out to you when you are having tremendous growth opportunities. If you can identify through your behavior when you are in fear, you can stop and say, aha, this is an extremely valuable time right now because it signifies something for me to move through which will be tremendously empowering. Question. FDR said that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Yes. Question. Do I get from this third question that what you are trying to do is to shift our viewpoint of having been afraid of fear to embracing that fear as something valuable in our transformation and our personal growth? When you can accept the value of everything in your life, including the negative, including fear, that will be when you claim your power. Question. The point being that the thing that we have not wanted to confront is more the fear rather than the results of the fear. Yes. If you are talking about the human condition, humans are more afraid of fear than the actual thing they claim they are afraid of. Question, which is why people say whenever they've had, for example, a terrible car accident, they get through it and say, that's all there is? They can't believe how simple it is. They go through the fear. Going back to the beginning of what we were saying, how your ego develops, the minute your ego perceives a threat, it is going to protect you from that threat. Not only is it going to protect you from the threat, it's going to protect you from the feeling of being threatened. That means protecting you from feeling fear. So not only is your ego protecting you from the thing, it is also protecting you from the feeling of the thing, which is the fear. Question, is it really even protecting you from the thing? Isn't it its only job to protect you from the feeling? Answer, recognize that a lot of the portions of the ego delude themselves, so it is going to protect you from anything that takes on any shape or form close to the fear. Question, I have just one more thing that is hitting me at this point. Anytime the ego receives a threat, it reacts with fear. It has one response to any number of invasions. This is the exact same mechanism that the physical body has. It has one response, which is inflammation, and then it goes on from there. It is a one-response mechanism. Yes. And recognize that even though the ego has one response, fear, that fear will often cloak itself in other emotions so that it is disguised, so that you can never trace it back to the ego. It is a camouflage mechanism. For instance, descriptions of things that are really fear disguised are often anger, jealousy, protectiveness. We could go on and on and on with this. The fear is underlying all of the disguises that it appears as, and you will need to examine your reactions to situations to really see where the fear is. Fear is it. When you master fear, you master your personal power. The fourth part of the exercise is a fun little exercise that is going to let your subconscious really have its say. These other portions of the exercise are your conscious mind. The fourth part of the exercise is personify your fear. Take a clean sheet of paper, colored pens and pencils, crayons, whatever you want, and what you're going to do is to personify your fear. Draw your fear. Give it a humanoid form. Whether it looks like a witch or a vampire or an ugly monster, make it as ugly and as sinister as you can, but still keep it having the appearance of human. This is very, very powerful. What it is going to do is communicate to your subconscious mind and your ego that fear is on your level. We will call this fear character Mr. Fear. You can call it Miss Fear if you want to. It doesn't matter. Mr. Fear, when personified, is like fear being revealed. It is now vulnerable. It now stands there in front of you, and you can see it as your height. It has two arms and two legs. It is something you can deal with. It is not this big black void. When you put fear on your level through personification, you can then use all sorts of techniques, such as dialoguing with the fear, to help the transformational process occur. When you've mastered fear, once again we will repeat, when you've mastered fear, you have mastered self-empowerment. In a sense, fear is the one enemy all of you are fighting on this planet, to speak a little bit dramatically. Each of you have disguised Mr. Fear in a different costume, so Mr. Fear is always something outside of you. However, Mr. Fear is something very alive and well inside, and it is the primary blockage toward mastering personal power. When Mr. Fear is brought to your level and embraced and allowed to express itself, you will be on the path toward absolute and totally mastering your personal power. You are already seeing in your society, in your own circle of friends perhaps, that when one commits themselves to personal growth, one must confront fear or you will not go any further. The tools to personal power are very easy, very light. They have the instructions clearly written upon them. But you can't get in the toolbox because Mr. Fear has his foot on it. And until you befriend Mr. Fear, you cannot get at the toolbox. You may, when Mr. Fear is taking a nap, sneak to the box and pull out a tool, but no sooner do you have it in your hand, he wakes up and snatches it back. This is the game that humans have been playing for quite some time. But now you know there is a toolbox. Now you know the instructions are clearly written on the tools, and now you know that the only thing standing in between you is Mr. Fear. He is the one to contend with, and he is a part of you. Because he is a part of you, he needs to be valued and recognized for what he can give to you. When you can do that, that is an indication that you are either very close to mastering or have mastered your fear. From that point on, the toolbox is clearly open and clearly labeled. It is your playground, and we would say that your mastery of your own personal power in this lifetime, in this physical reality, is more of a playground than you realize. If there is no fun involved in this mastery, we would suggest not doing it. If there's no joy, if there's no excitement, go back a little bit and work on something else until you can muster the joy and the excitement. Because when you've truly committed toward mastery of that personal power, if you are truly committed and truly excited, then even the fear will be an exciting thing. That also will be a signpost to tell you whether you've really committed or whether you are still in the phase of trying to commit. If your fear is an exciting thing because it represents the path to your power, then you are full steam ahead. If not, then continue to search for the mastery of your fear before you go further. And once again, when you feel the excitement, you will know you are ready. Each and every one of you carries this toolbox. Each and every one of you has an equal chance of mastering those tools. We know you would not have set this up if you are not capable of achieving it. And we know that the rewards are great when you achieve it. You're a very persistent civilization. You will achieve what you are setting out to do. Persistence, patience, joy, and love. Enjoy your road to personal power, for there is a pot of gold at the end. And I'd like to mention in conjunction to those that information from Germaine that he touched upon at first the concept of taking 100% responsibility for everything that happens in your life. And in the free download that I have at MaxwellGreenSite.com, and the name of the site is Healing the Known and the Unknown, certainly the fact that you're 100% responsible for your experience is one of the 10 fundamental concepts which relate to the complete understanding of this issue. And being 100% responsible, of course, doesn't mean you're to blame. It means you have the ability to respond. And because you created it, you have the power to fix it. And blaming and complaining and justification all create victimhood. And that's why Jermaine's talking about this shift in consciousness, because when you take full 100% responsibility for your outer experience, that's one level of being. And being in a situation where you're constantly blaming is clearly a victimhood consciousness. And Bashar would also, I'm certain, make the comment that the universe was created with unconditional love. And this frequency is the frequency that your higher self is in alignment with. and it's the only really objective frequency. And that your experience in 3D dimensional reality is based on your thoughts, beliefs, and definitions. So your outer reality is a mirror reflection. It's just a holographic mirror. And to me, this is the really the second fundamental concept. The first that, you know, thought creates. All the channeled information, or not all of it, but a fair amount of it from the Pleiadians and Syrians, and the Esesani, are basically centered around the whole concept that thought creates. And I think this is the basic concept that's spreading throughout our society at this time. And in conjunction with the fact that thought creates, you start to realize that then your beliefs and definitions and emotions are what create that outer reflection. And taking 100% responsibility, again, creates this shift from being in a victim consciousness where there is just blame or justification or complaint. And another concept that ties into this whole idea of self-empowerment is that all events are inherently neutral. And this is huge because, frankly, I've never seen this in any kind of psychological books or any books, frankly. The only place I've ever seen this comment is from Bashar, and he's saying that we place value judgments on external events, that they do not come with built-in meaning. And if you give that some focus, I think you'll see that that's true. Just the same as one food can be presented to two different people and have two different results. One may love it, one may dislike it intensely. The same event similarly has different takes by different people. And Bashar has basically taken that a few steps farther by stating that when you place positive emotional spin or positive judgment on a situation, you get a positive experience. And when you place a negative one on the external circumstance, you end up with a negative experience. And this is one of the challenges that we put on ET Yoga. Probably half the shows I've mentioned, try this technique of putting a positive emotional spin on outer circumstances. And even if you can't see any possible way that things can turn out positive, to be open about it and just place a positive emotional spin and say to yourself, let's see how this will turn out, and keep track of the results. And I think you'll be quite pleasantly surprised at how effective that technique is. And Bashar goes on further, actually, to state that outer circumstances don't matter. Only your state of being matters. And this has actually been proven scientifically, that the brain in the heart is 5,000 times more powerful than the brain in the head and emits an energy field about 10 feet from the physical body. And you know, your emotional state is actually the key contributor towards creating that outer reflection. And when you run, actually, energy through positive beliefs, which are in alignment with your higher self, the results are positive emotions like love, joy, excitement, magic, and peace. And when you run energy through negative beliefs, which are not in alignment with your higher self, the results are negative emotions like hate, anger, negative synchronicity, and disharmony. And relating that to the germane information, that's clearly the negative beliefs create the illusion. And the illusion is equal to fear. And of course, fear doesn't necessarily have to be that type of fear that, you know, you're in a physical, threat or danger. It can be, you know, as Jermaine says, you know, fear of flying or, fear of a concept or being in a situation. It can be, you know, more of a subtle, type of fear, but fear nonetheless. And, Bashar would, also concur with the Mother Mary material which can be found at the College of Christ Consciousness. And one of her concepts is that acceptance is the higher vibration of judgment. Now, judgment is the recurring thread here of all of this, of all of our problems, in one sense, have their root cause in judgment, because it's placing negative judgment on circumstances that create negative experiences. And acceptance, being the higher vibration of judgment, is beyond forgiveness, because even forgiveness implies that something has been done wrong. Acceptance says that all is happening perfectly just as it is, because whatever is happening enables us to grow, and this moves us into the energy of love, trust, and peace. And interesting to note here is the concept that, you know, so far in tonight's show we've been really, you know, talking about this whole issue of self-empowerment and self-mastery, and of some of the laws of the 3D physical reality that that are in play, that probably, you know, in previous times in history, not many people have been aware of this type of information. And even the material at the College of Christ Consciousness, that's the information channel through Mary, through Jean Hatch, they state there that some of that information had leaked out over the course of time, but for the most part, it was only information available in the mystery schools. And that is also a connection with the Egyptian healing rods, because those Egyptian healing rods, scholars used to think when they looked back at some of the paintings of the Egyptians, what they were holding in their hands, they assumed those were scrolls. But in point of fact, they were Egyptian healing rods. The inner circle of the priesthood there had the knowledge of the pyramid power and its connection with crystals and zinc and copper. And these were part and parcel of their ceremonies and of their daily routines, only available, though, to the inner circle. And the other connection here clearly is that it's not only important to, you know, have the right attitude going about all these concepts that we've discussed, but how it also reflects to health. And that's why I started up the website at Healing the Known and the Unknown, was to provide people with the best information they could find for maximizing their immune system. I mean, we've talked about some of the things that lower the frequency of the immune system, like television, some of the new technologies, the internet, cell phone use, the toxicities in food, all those sprays in the air. In fact, our world is highly toxic. The fluoride and chlorine in water. These are all sort of negative effects of things that are not positive to the immune system. And we've really tried to focus a lot on making it known to people that there's some amazing things you can do at, for very, very low cost to keep your immune system operating the way it was intended to. And frankly, you know, we're looking at statistics now that are quite alarming. I've heard information that back in the 70s, even something like 70% of the population was considered healthy, and now it's like 2%. I mean, clearly the health situation is deteriorating. And in a time like this, it's clear that our world is becoming more and more toxic, and when these toxins build up year after year after year after year, and as Bashar would explain, the toxicity gets lodged in places in the system that basically immobilizes the immune system. So this whole concept of self-empowerment, to me, just, you know, connects with the immune system. And at the top of the show, when we talked about the Russian research now that's really talking about ways and means to enhance the immune system, and recommending a tool such as the Egyptian healing rods. To me, this whole concept is hand in hand. And in fact, the farther that you become self-empowered, the farther you are up the chain on creating total immunity from disease. At the very optimum top end of the scale, the emotions of unconditional love, gratitude, and compassion are reflected also in your DNA. And when those are reflected 100%, then disease is not an option. It can't exist at those vibratory frequencies. So, in fact, even in the Mother Mary material, and I'll give you a quote from that, all disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. Holding an erroneous belief system, especially in a suppressed or expressed form, creates an environment of internal discordance on a subconscious level. Over a period of time, denial of the judgment placed upon some aspect of oneself and then suppressed begins to alter the cellular structure of the area of the body where the memory of the event or circumstance is stored. This cellular alteration has been labeled disease. It is really emotional self-judgment. So, I mean, this information is consistent with other extraterrestrial information concerning the fact that thought creates and that all disease is created through dysfunctional emotions. You know, and if emotions are the key factor in creating our outer experience, clearly, you know, this is accurate. And the public is starting to understand this concept through information like that in The Secret. And regardless of other issues with this particular information, the fundamental concept of thought creates is what is important. And if you believe that thought creates, it is natural to conclude that our thoughts, beliefs, and definitions create the outer experience. And if this is what creates our outer experience, then only negative beliefs and their accompanying emotions are the root cause of disease. So, you know, it's, to me, this is all, you know, interconnected. Self-empowerment and the whole concept of developing a more powerful immune system is key. And according to the latest Russian information, basically they're saying that these earth changes and the changes in the magnetic frequency of the earth, it's becomes imperative that people start paying attention to maximizing their immune systems, because even the World Health Organization has predicted that in the year 2010, the cancer would be the number one cause of death on the planet at the rate that it's increasing. And clearly, Egyptian healing rods are one way, and the best way I know of it's not to, they're not just for healing disease, they're for relatively healthy people to maximize their potential, and their potential it clearly is maximized through pyramid power, through crystals, and through some of these new technologies. And I might point out that, on a scale of, I guess, cheap to expensive, Egyptian healing rods aren't the cheapest. The pair I bought cost, I believe, around $300. But, I mean, if you think about the cost of acupuncture and the fact that doing these, just holding these rods for 15 minutes a day that anybody can do, is basically like getting an hour of acupuncture. I mean, I don't know where you live what acupuncture costs, but unless it's free or through some medical plan, it's highly expensive. And not only that, but the benefits of Egyptian healing rods are far more than just enhancing the immune system. They open up the chakras, they enhance your ability to visualize and actually materialize outer creation and reflection. It eases the whole process and magnifies it. It's like being inside a pyramid utilizing these rods, and that's what they were designed to do. So, again, referring to the Egyptian healing rods, my highest recommendation as a new age tool. Now, if, you know, that $300 figure is out of the question. And by the way, what a great, way cool Christmas present. How about a set of Egyptian healing rods for someone you love? And pick up a pair for yourself. And by the way, I don't make any money on promoting Egyptian healing rods. I'm just saying they're just a great product. But really, another way to enhance the immune system, and that's information from Bashar, is the thorough detoxification and placing the proper nutrients in the body. And the Palladian information through Barbara Marciniak also reflects the same concepts. And the main concept here is that the human body is an amazing healing organism and machine. It is blueprinted and set up to heal everything. And Bashar has said that 99.99% of diseases can be healed by the physical body if, and the big if is, a body that has been thoroughly detoxed and provided with proper nutrients. And there's been some new experiments done with people with torn ligaments in their knees that apparently, there's no other way to fix it except through operations. And the people that are utilizing these new age natural healing methods are healing situations that were previously thought to be impossible. And of course, one of the ways and one of the sources for detoxing can be the American Botanical Pharmacy in California, and that's Dr. Schultz's programs. And he has the thorough detoxing for brain, colon, kidney, liver, gallbladder, the whole nine yards, and as well also provides a product there called Superfood. And I've been using these for about 3 years now, and I just find his products are, they're just the best. And if you're looking at thorough detoxification, and I know, I guess you'll hear different people recommend different things, but I totally would suggest a once-a-year total detox and give your immune system a break, because how many people really have, do this once a year? Very, very small percent of the population. And both Bashar and Dr. Schultz say that 85 to 90% of all physical symptoms disappear when this is done. And when people used to go to Dr. Schultz's clinics, they come in with a certain problem. He never used to address their initial problem. He just said, look, do these programs. Do the detox program. Take the superfoods. Do these for 30 days. And then, let's see what's happening. And people, they forgot about why they came in the first place. Because the symptoms just disappear. It's incredible. And then, if that doesn't work for whatever the situation is, he also has an incurables program, so that, if they don't go away with the initial programs, then, he's got other things there as well. So I highly recommend, the Dr. Schultz is at the American Botanical Pharmacy. And, so I'd like to wrap up tonight's show by, saying again that you can email me at paperfungo, that's PAPERFUNGO at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo at yahoo.ca. If you've got some comments about tonight's show, if you've got subject matter that you'd like to have discussed on ET Yoga, or if you've got, I'd love to hear you share any of your personal experiences and successes utilizing techniques you've heard on ET Yoga. And as usual, I'd like to wish everyone full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and hope you'll tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.